Please note, the opinions and perspectives expressed on the following show are solely those of the host and their guest. These opinions and views do not reflect Ruckus Avenue Radio or Dash Radio. Listener discretion is advised.
What's popping, guys? It's your girl Jyoti K, and this is Jyoti K Uncut on Dash Radio on Ruckus Avenue Radio. We are back today. We have, again, Lucy Legend, my co-host.
Hey.
Welcome, Lucy.
Back at it.
But we also have one of my friends in town. And can you guys still hear me? Because I just unplugged this shit.
Yes, we can.
I was so excited.
We can. Testing.
Testing. Okay, we're back. I was so excited that she's here that I kicked the whole freaking microphone off. But we have my friend Tia Bhatia here.
Hi.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hi.
I'm so excited you're here. I feel like I've known you forever.
I know. I feel like we have. Like, literally, we've had so many times where we wanted to meet up and we have been unable to.
I think I was in Canada once.
You
and
were
we
in
almost.
Canada.
Yeah.
And when I came back to California, we were unable to. Yeah. Also, guys, I know Jyoti looks really sexy right now, so it's really hard for me to concentrate, but I'm just pointing that out right now.
Stop it right now, girl.
Stop it.
She looks sexy as well. But yeah, she's here and we made it happen. She asked me, like, do you want to hang out? And I was just like, yo, I booked the studio today. You want to come through? Like, we can have a conversation live.
Exactly.
Live. And it's nice because. I feel like I've known her forever. Like,
yeah.
Like, we've never personally met, but we've been following each other for years now,
yeah.
Right?
That's the thing. That's what I love about social media.
Yeah.
There's people that you don't meet who support the hell out of you, and then there's people you know who do not support.
Do not support. Exactly.
Preach.
They'll be watching everything, but they're not, like,
yeah.
They don't
I
support.
Keep liking my stories, or, like, keep watching my stories, sorry, but, like, not commenting about it.
Nothing.
You know?
Because I feel, what I feel about with that sometimes is, like, they come from the same place.
Yeah.
So they feel like. Like there's a competition or something, but it's not. It's like we all have the same 24 hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's so much room for everyone to make it.
It
honestly,
is.
There is.
Exactly. Everyone's different. Like you're in the same like industry as I am, but we're both in different aspects doing the damn thing. Right.
Yeah.
And if we can all support each other, like there's so many famous people out there. We'll be okay.
Oh yeah. We'll be 100% okay.
But Tia, she's more famous than I am. Shit. She got 400K on freaking YouTube, girl.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's 400K plus. It was more than that. But I was like looking at it and there was one video, your adoption video had a million views.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Correcting Jyoti is 1.4.
Oh, yeah. 1.4 million. 1.4. No big deal. No big deal at all. And let's start off with that. So when did you like kind of start popping off? Was it from Dr. Cabby?
So basically, yeah, it was from Dr. Cabby because that was the first thing I ever auditioned for. And actually at 16, nobody knew this, but I was quietly studying acting. I didn't want to tell anyone. I didn't tell my friends. Nobody.
Okay.
And I professionally started working at 22. And I'm 27 now, but I got to audition for this movie called Dr. Cabby, and I got that role. It was the first thing I auditioned for. I beat out a lot of people.
How'd you find out about it? Like,
well, our family.
So Salman Khan co-produced it, right?
Yeah, Salman Khan co-produced it.
Lucy, he's like a big-ass actor in India. Like, I had a crush on him when I was 16, and this motherfucker's still around. He's still around, and he still, like, looks hot in movies, and he's doing the damn thing. So it's
he
a big
really,
deal.
Really is. Yeah. Well, yeah, I auditioned for it, and I beat out so many girls, and I found out because our family friends actually did the movie,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't tell anyone that I was auditioning for it because I wanted to work on it on my own, you
on
know,
your own, yeah.
From the background that I come from, the family that I come from, it's a well-known family.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to do things where I'm like, hey, I did it. I
did
it on my own.
Own.
Yeah, I have the support of my family, but I did it.
I didn't need like any names, favors or anything.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got very lucky and blessed and I got that audition and then I booked it and I got the role and it was one of the hardest characters in the movie. I played a Muslim girl who was pregnant and she wanted to commit suicide, obviously, because of all those issues and all.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's also on set where I became really good friends. I met Lily Singh and her and I became really good friends since then.
So that's
then,
where you met her in the movie.
Yeah.
She played herself, right?
She played herself.
Yeah, special appearance.
And then Isabel Kaff, she's one of my really close friends as well.
Is she Katrina Kaff's sister or something?
Yeah, she's Katrina's
sister. She is. She looks just like her.
She does.
She's another actress in Bollywood, Lucy.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I made like really good relationships. Mm-hmm. So that actually started taking me off and it just took me to a whole different idea where I'm like, you know what? Social media is the way to go.
And that's when it was popping up. Like, what was that, 2014?
2016.
16, just kidding.
15.
Yeah. That's when social media was like,
yeah.
you know, you could do something with social media. Now I feel like it's a little harder because everybody's like trying to do it. But that's when you were like, you were smart. You jumped on it, right?
Yeah.
Did you start? Is that when you started doing YouTube?
So, yeah, I started doing YouTube in, well, like 2016 after Dr. Cabby. I realized that, you know what? I actually put out a video many years ago when YouTube first started. I posted one video. Got embarrassed of it, took it down within the first day. And that first night, it actually got 1,000 views without me promoting it. I was like, I can't do it. I'm not comfortable. I'm not confident in who I am. I don't know what the hell I'm about to preach out here. So eventually after Dr. Cabby, I kind of started realizing I have a voice and I can create a platform. So let me use YouTube as a means to do that. And being that Lily has been able to accomplish so much. And I've always wanted to be that person who can make change in other people's lives. So if I can do this through YouTube, I'm going to do it.
So that was your, it wasn't like, oh, let me just be funny. It was like, I literally am here to make a change.
I mean, I don't know if I'm funny, but like, I just
You're cute and funny,
So yeah, I just wanted to make a change in life. And I went on social media and I put out my first video and it actually did really well. It garnered over 5,000 views within the night.
That's nice.
I think people were like, why is she on YouTube? What is she doing? You know, the nosiness. And then within the first year, I got 100,000 subscribers.
Was it because you already, did you gain a lot of followers from Dr. Cabby or no? You were still like.
It was still like.
Yeah, they were like, oh, she's not, she was in there, but okay.
But
yeah.
I think you know what it is. And I'm not, I'm going to be wholeheartedly honest about it. I don't lie. Like, I am who I am that you see me on social media and you see me off of social media.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is what garnered the 100K. And then the second year, I gained another 100K. So that's 200K. Third year, 300K. I hit 300K in January, and somehow, it's been half a year, and usually I'm used to once a year, I hit 100K. Now I'm hitting 400K, and it's only been half a year.
That's awesome.
Like, okay.
And your first videos were no features, nothing, you by yourself.
It was mainly me by myself just talking. And then I actually put out my adoption video and that's what blew up.
Because it was you being real.
Yeah.
And it's really hard in like our Indian culture to even talk. First of all, like that's not very common. It might be, but not really. Like you don't hear anybody talk about it. So like even I, when I watched it, like it was like, I was like, oh, that's so, it was like a movie. Like there could be a movie out of the story, girl. You got to watch it. I'll send it to you. But it was so like heartwarming and so nice that you were just like super real about it.
Yeah.
And your parents are the cutest people. They're so freaking cute, dude. I'm like super jelly. I'm like,
she always says that every time she sees the picture of dad. I've read the comment where it's like, oh,
I follow
so
him.
Cute.
I'm his biggest fan. I wanted the Raptors to win. Congratulations, by the way.
Thanks.
Just because of the dad. I promise you. Because like, I am a Warriors fan. Yeah, we kept winning, but I have to back up my team, right?
Trash,
but just.
Trash.
I had to back up my team. But like, her dad was like, my heart was warm. I was like, at least he's happy. Like, he would just come there. He's like, this is our year. And I'm
know.
Just like, this is your year,
you
uncle.
Know, it was really sweet because Steve Kerr said, if the war, he wants, obviously wants his team to win. He's like, but if they did lose, he'd be happy for him.
Oh, exactly. No. That was me. I was like, I felt like I won because he's one of our own. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I think he's the cutest thing ever. So I was like, good job, Uncle.
Yeah.
Like, it's all for you, you know?
24 seasons in the making, 24 years of my life.
I know. And he's, dude, he's like went to every game.
Yeah,
like,
he hasn't missed a home game.
Never. Yeah. And he's so cute. He's like, everyone, dude, there was like cutouts of him at the fucking game. Of his face. Like, he's a celebrity. Girl, Tia's doing the damn thing, but Uncle's verified. Okay, Uncle's verified on Instagram.
Let's talk about this too.
Yeah. My dad's like, oh, by the way, he comes home, he goes, I got the blue check mark. I'm like, oh, so what are you now?
Yeah.
And he's like,
celebrity?
I'm somebody.
Yeah. Girl, Drake knows him.
Oh,
so you know what? Let's like, you know what? We're taking away from Tia. We're going into Uncle. But since we're talking about it.
I love it.
How was that? Like, so when your dad, like, he became a little mini celebrity, like, were you like, fuck yeah. Was this before you started popping off or was it like at the same time?
Well, like, okay, so I have to kind of reverse this.
No, for sure. Let's
give
go
the
back.
Thing in context.
Yeah.
But basically, when my dad started going to the games in 1995, he brought me to the first game for the first Toronto Raptors game. And then 1998-99, Isaiah Thomas, the manager, he gave my dad the name of designated superfan. And he gave my dad
a jersey.
He's
the one who gave him the name.
Yeah, so it's not even like a name that he thought of himself or people started calling him. The name was actually given to him by the Raptors.
That's his Instagram name, Nav Superfan.
Yeah, Nav Fatih Superfan.
Yeah.
So after that, like, things were taking off for him, but social media wasn't big, that big back then, okay. Right?
Yeah.
And thank God it wasn't during high school years. Oh, my goodness.
I know. Oh, kids are so mean. We'll get into
but,
that.
But, yeah, so basically, there were people who knew who my dad was, and he was, like, popping a bit. And then, literally, I think it was around, like, 5 years ago when social media started getting bigger, 4 or 5 years ago, my dad got a publicist and his PR manager and all of that.
Oh, he got all that?
He got all
damn.
Of it. Because someone, because that PR manager was like, I can change your life around.
Yeah.
Because we're going to use social media. People knew about my dad. They knew about his story.
Yeah.
But let's make it even bigger.
Yeah.
And so then all of a sudden, my dad, Raptors started getting into playoffs consistently. We've gone into playoffs for many seasons. Mm-hmm. And because of that is when his name started growing more and more. So New York Times picked up on that. So then they wrote an article. And then so with his, manager, the manager blew him up on social media as well. And now because the Raptors have gone into the playoffs, he popped off to the whole point where we're talking. My dad said it to me today, too. He goes, I'm a 68-year-old man. And he looks like he's 50. But like,
oh, he looks great.
Yeah,
the he's cutest
like,
thing ever.
I'm a 68-year-old man, and I'm popping off right now. What's going on? And I'm not even kidding you. I have never seen this. I know he gets a lot of love.
He does.
But I driving with him, there are people driving by us, pulling out cameras. People chase after his car.
He's so cute.
I took him to my friend's wedding. 1,300 people were at this wedding. The bride and groom could not make their entry till everyone sat down, so they had to take my dad into the bridal suite because people wouldn't stop taking pictures.
That's so cute.
We were on the street, and fans come running, and we don't know what happened, but like, I'm very happy to see he's getting so much love because that's the happiest thing for me.
Yes.
And I started
popping. Does he love it?
Yeah, he loves it. You know what? He'll never say no for a photo.
Aww.
And if he says no, there's a reasoning behind it. It's either because security's going to whoop your butt right now.
Yeah.
Or like,
does he go with security?
He doesn't go with security, but now he's going to start.
Yeah.
Actually,
after the game.
He's doing a cruise. And this is really funny. This is how you know you popped off.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a cruise and he's like, come join me for the summer party cruise with Cardi B, DJ Khaled, Murda Beats, Post Malone.
Stop it right now.
And I'm just like, no way. So when I fly back into Toronto on Friday morning, he flies off to Miami and he's doing the cruise and there's a show.
He's going to that cruise? I know exactly what cruise that is.
Yeah, he got invited.
My boy's DJing that cruise and he was giving it. There's only one cabana left.
Oh, my God.
I'm dead.
Yeah, so like they invited him and then they have on the ship, they have like a whole celebrity area. And like he's like, yeah, I'm staying
there.
He's
going to be part of it.
To meet Cardi B, like that's massive.
That's
like,
amazing. He probably doesn't even like know how big these people are to us.
No, he doesn't.
How about what does he feel about Drake? Like, does he know Drake's a big deal?
So yeah, he knows Drake's a big deal. So we actually met Drake before he had the started from the bottom. Now we hear before that. All
I was showing her pictures of when Drake wasn't hot.
Yeah.
So we actually went out to dinner with him, and my dad got to know him and had a full conversation. Then literally. Fast forward a year later, he pops off. Then he now look at where he is.
Mm-hmm.
And because I guess we've
looking
known
like
him,
a champagne poppy.
Yeah. I guess because we've known him from before and my dad has always had love for him. I mean, people try to pin my dad and him against each other because like he is the global ambassador for the Raptors and my dad's a South Asian ambassador.
Uh-huh.
So people are saying that, oh, why should Drake be given a ring or a title of like full ambassador when he's not there at every game like Nav is?
But the
thing is, even my dad says it like, no, that doesn't take away from what he's done for the team.
Yeah.
He's an amazing person. And yes, he is the ambassador and I'm going to work with him.
Yeah.
So people always try to pin them. And recently Drake said to dad, he's like, I thank you. Like you never once put my name in a negative slate.
Yeah.
The way other people are. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he started popping off even more. But I started like with Dr. Cabby and then it was a slow process. And then eventually I came onto YouTube. That's when things started happening. The adoption video. Then I posted a skit. That one did over 15 million views. And then that popped off.
Who did you do your skit with, or was it by yourself?
It was with me and one of my friends, but she's not like a known YouTuber. We decided to do a video.
Together, yeah.
But yeah, like things took off, and now it's so funny because before I even put out my adoption video, a lot of people didn't cue in that my dad is Nabhatia. Now I'm reading comments on my social media. They're like, oh my God, we didn't even know your dad's Nabhatia. Oh my God, your dad's Raptor super fan. Like, these people didn't know.
They didn't know.
Because I didn't market it like that.
Was it kind of happening at the same time? Like both of you guys were kind of going up there?
Yeah, and then he skyrocketed.
He skyrocketed. Blue check
mark
first.
So my dad and I, we were competing. He was at 72K. I was at 68K.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Dad, I'm coming for you. And then this shit happened, and now he's above 250K.
Oh, yeah.
And things just blew up.
After the finals. Oh, yeah. He was the man. Dude, he was on, like, every time they were doing, like, when they were, like, interviewing anybody at the basketball thing, mm-hmm. he was always there. There was, like, a lady trying to interview him, and people were hugging him in the back. And they're like, Nav, come back here. And he's like, hold on. He's like, hold on. Let me just hug these people.
It
was,
yeah.
I was like, I love this guy. He's my favorite. Actually, on that note, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Okay, guys?
Listen to Ruckus Avenue Radio on dashradio.com and download the app today.
All right, guys, we're back from our break. We have Tia Bhatia here. We were just talking about her, and then we obviously started talking about her dad.
Yeah.
Nav Bhatia is super fan. We got super excited talking about him. He's basically super famous now, and he never looked back. I'm just kidding. But no, so we were actually talking about, speaking of dad and speaking of your YouTube popping off and everything, and we were talking about your adoption video earlier. So tell us about your adoption story. Like, I didn't know you were adopted until I don't even remember how we started following each other, but then I like did a full stalk because I was like, let me see what she does. Like, you want to, you know, you want to see, like, you're proud of your girls. Like, I'm proud of all my, like, brown people doing it. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're fucking in style. We just had freaking Hasan Minhaj freaking host the fucking NBA awards.
Yeah.
We have Lily Singh freaking gonna have a late night talk show. Like, we are fucking doing it, dude. Mm-hmm. And I'm so proud. Like, I'm never like, I'm jealous. Nah, hell no. Like, thank you. Like, thank you for paving the way.
Can I just say one thing about brown people? YG just made a music video with brown people in
it. Oh, yeah.
Have you seen? Shout out. Have you guys seen YG's video?
I've seen it. It's
Brown people.
The Hispanic brown people.
Hispanic brown people. Yes.
No, but it was like, we watched it. It was bad. It was like, like the representation. It was like lip liners, like the eyebrows. Like, it was called Go Loco. Have you heard the Go Loco song?
Yeah.
My bitch Go Loco. No, the video was really bad.
Oh, no.
It's like how they, you know, try to view us.
Yeah.
Like, they think, like, you know, whenever you're watching a movie, it's like, oh, it's a cab driver.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, which is true. I mean, my dad was a cab driver, but you know what they see us as? That video was, like, completely, like,
how they portray us. Like,
yeah.
So when I go to the East Coast, now I know why they're like, you don't look Mexican.
And you're like,
oh, I'm sorry. I don't have that hairspray with a bandana
with my
and a
penciled
lip liner.
Lip liner. Yeah. And it's 2019, so it was a really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad representation. Hopefully we can change it.
Get with the year.
Get with the year.
Yeah,
it's not like that, you know? No, but it's true. Like, when people are like, oh, you're Indian? Oh my God, I love Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, I get that so much.
I'm like, really? I never watched it.
I have today terrible. Today I got, oh, are you Mediterranean? And I also got Latina today. And I'm like,
oh yeah.
Where's my Sasrika?
Yeah. Well, you're from Canada, so like over there, everyone kind of knows, right?
Everyone knows.
Because it's like mini India.
It literally is.
Yeah. Like, no one's like, they're like, you're Punjabi, like, you're Sikh, or you're this. But here it's like, oh, you can't be Indian because you're cute. You know, like, you must be Latina. You must be Middle Eastern.
Even when I've gone in for auditions, obviously things have changed. But sometimes they're like, we want someone who looks Indian. And I'm like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever seen Aziz Ansari's show on Netflix. He had a show.
I watched it.
And he did this thing where he went to an audition room and the guy goes, can you be more Indian? And he's like,
ugh.
Like, you want me to talk like this.
Yeah, you want me to talk like this, right?
Yeah,
and then
bob my head.
And bob your head. And be like, huh?
Yeah, that's what they want. That's what they say. Like, it, which, like, I respect to, you know, our Indian people, and I get it.
Yeah.
But, like, if we're born here or we've been here a long time, that's not how we're going to be.
And I will see a difference. Like, the way Kunal Nair did, I loved it. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a smart guy in his TV show and Big Bang Theory and all. But the character called for that.
Yeah.
But, like, we are not always doctors, lawyers. I was nice because he was a scientist, so that was actually
different. Cool. Yeah,
but like, we're not always just that. We have more to us,
Way more to us. Yeah,
yeah.
No, we do have more to us. Like, people just expect us to be like, you know, like you said. But now that we're like actors, we're entertainers, we're models. Or some people are still like, it's hard for them to accept it or whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, I was talking to this guy. And he was just like, you're Indian? And I'm like, yeah. And he was like, yeah, my dad told me, like, not to be cool with Indian people.
Huh?
Yeah. And he was, remember, I was talking about the DJ guy I was talking to. And I was like, what does that mean? He's like, yeah, my dad was like, they're cheap. They're like this. They're like that. He's like, I'll never eat Indian food.
And I was, okay, well, thank God. So there'll be more Indian food available for other people.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm like, it's not for everybody, but like, yeah. Your dad told you not to talk to us because we're cheap. Like, everyone has somebody cheap in their race. And like,
hello, people think that just because I come from a specific family,
yeah,
my mom whoops my butt if I spend $6 at a Starbucks.
For, yeah,
she like, will make it be at home. So angry.
But that's how we stay rich.
That's hard-earned money. It's hard-earned work. Even if it's my money, my own money, it's hard-earned work. So your parents don't want you to, like, just spend it
just
out
spend
like
spend it,
that.
Like, yeah. Just waste it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so dumb. It's just, it's stereotypes. It's always going to be that way. And, like, what I do like about, we were, like, all over the place and stuff, but we'll get to your adoption story right now. But what I was actually wanted to ask you, do you think Canada... I was going to say Canada.
Canada? What about Canada?
Canada. That's how Indian people say Canada. Canada.
Canada.
Do you think that they're more close-niched and they try to help each other rather than people in America?
You know what? I don't know much about with the American scene, but I mean, like, you're American. Manpreet's American. I've connected with you guys, like, insanely.
That's true.
You know, and even with, like, Poonam Priyanka. Like, Poonam Priyanka are my best friends, and Simi is one of my closest girls.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like... I don't know if it's, like, an American or Canadian thing. I just think, like, it's how you've been brought up. Like,
how you've been brought up,
honestly,
yeah.
I'm going to focus on that. It's how you've been brought up. Like, we support... There's so much support also within the Toronto community that I know.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot.
There's a lot of support coming
from Toronto. You guys... That's why you guys, I feel like most... If you think Canadians are, like, doing... better nowadays than like American people. Like Drake is huge. He's more huge than the Beatles, right? Yeah. He has more slaps than the Beatles, which is true.
Hey. Yeah.
And like, you know what I mean? And like, I've noticed that like with you guys, if there's one person, like with us, like we'll know of each other, but we don't really like, we'll kind of work with each other, not really, but we'll work with the Canadians. We'll work with the England people, right?
Yeah.
But with each other, we won't. But I've noticed, I've noticed with Canadians.
Or it'll be like, pay me.
Or pay me, yeah. But with Canadians, it's like, oh yeah, I have outfits.
Yeah.
Oh, you record? Oh, you do this? Let's all work together.
You know, one thing that's amazing, I think the girls who do a lot of the makeup community, the beauty community in Canada, they support the hell out of each other.
Yep.
Then I see what the hell is happening here in the States. And I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's true. Here it's true. In LA, there's so many of us. But I feel like we all like somehow see each other's competition or, oh, I'll work with you. But it's $1,000, which I understand.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. When I'm happy, when it's Indian people especially, I'm like, I got you for free. No problem. Yeah. But I don't, not everyone's like that.
You know what? These people that are doing things are actually paving the way to open things up for you. Why are you sitting here?
Yeah.
Those are the people, if they're, you see them not supporting you because they sit there and compare.
Compare, yeah.
And comparison is the number one thing that can create burnout.
Of course.
That can make you ruin your own life if you keep comparing.
Yeah, because you're your own like enemy at this point.
Yeah, and no one can do what you can bring to the table.
Yeah.
No matter how many makeup artists, no matter how many actors, everyone does their work differently.
Differently, exactly.
Stop comparing.
Yeah, like that could be me being mad about like everyone, like there's a lot of people on Ruckus, right? I could be like, oh my God, why is there so many people on this thing? No, because I'm my own person.
Yeah.
This person's show is going to be different. Their person's show is going to be different, you know? But yeah, I've noticed that with like shout out to Canada for this, like I've noticed that like you guys are all very right? Canada A. But you guys are very like close together, and I feel like if people in America were like that, like we would be so much bigger and so much greater. There would be less hate. So just whoever's listening, but
stop hating
work together, man. It's not a competition, and I get it. When you make it to the point where you could be paying people and things like that, of course. But I'm still that way. Like if you rolled with me today, even when I have millions, I'll still roll with, like, I'll still have your back. Like, I'll still do it for free for you. But that's not everyone's like that.
It's all your heart.
It is.
It's your heart.
Like you said, how you're brought up.
Yeah, it could be also how you're brought up. So, like, from maybe inside your house, you're being brought up specifically where you care for others. But then when you go outside and what you experience in high school, we don't know what kids face in high school. Different kids have different experiences. They are what they are. There's a reasoning behind it. As much as, like, I want to be like, stop hating. I'm like, there's a reasoning deep-rooted. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to take you into my life. Like, you know, I'll support you from a distance.
From there afar.
Yeah, there are people that, like, I know for a fact that they compare. And they might be them as individuals. I don't want to hang out with them. But I support what they do. And I will always be there clapping every time there's an achievement. So how hard is it for people to clap for other people's achievements? Not hard at all.
Exactly. And that's why they say pay attention to the people like who don't clap or who do clap, right? I say pay attention to people who clap because those are the people that like they might, even if they are the way you say, they're still supporting you.
Prove your supporters right.
Prove your supporters right. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Even like your haters too. Yeah, whatever. But you already know that.
Haters are gonna be haters.
So
you could like dive into charity and dedicate your whole life to giving back, and someone's gonna find something to hate about.
And be like, you're just showing off. Like, shut the fuck up.
Like, the one thing I don't understand is people will, like, for example, when I do things with like charity organizations, or when I go, when I've gone back to India and constantly built washrooms for girls in India, if I showcase it, I'm showing off. If I don't show it, I'm doing nothing.
Yeah.
So it's like, I ain't going to win. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't give a shit if you want to hound me for it.
Yeah.
If I'm allowed to show something that's a part of my life off because I'm on social media, I'm going to do it. You can sit there and hate me all you want, but I'm going to be me.
And you're still watching me at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, just unfollow me. It's hard.
Exactly. Just unfollow me. And then if you're watching me and hating on me for doing this, then... what are you doing? Is what I like to say.
Okay. I love hearing that people go, "Oh, what are you doing with your privileged life?" And I'm like, "Oh, there's a lot that I'm probably doing that you're not doing.
That you're
right
not
now.
Doing. What are you doing? Sitting on your phone, just being miserable all day long."
Yep.
But Jesus, we could go on for haters forever, ever.
We really could.
But let's talk about your amazing story.
Yep.
So I watched the adoption story. It was great. It was wonderful. I like almost was in tears.
Yeah.
So how old were you? It was in Delhi that you were put up for adoption, right?
So story is, we're going to go back.
Yeah, back.
Story is, I was actually born in Ambala, which is right on the outskirts of Punjab. And we don't know the full story there. Like, they know I'm from the street, but don't know exactly what happened, like how I ended up in the orphanage or anything. Mm-hmm. But there were two girls chosen from the orphanage in Ambala to be shifted to a bigger orphanage in New Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
And so my parents had always wanted, they decided they wanted to adopt a girl. My dad always wanted a baby girl, which a lot of people are surprised because they're like, why not a son?
Especially in our culture.
Yeah. A girl can carry a legacy.
Yes,
but girls are cuter, so I mean, like,
how cuter.
So my dad actually applied for adoption, and it took years. They didn't get the approval for adoption until 6 to 7 years later after being married.
That's crazy. It's a long time.
It's a long time. Yeah, and so... So
he applied before he got married?
He applied when he was married.
When he was married,
okay. Yeah, because back then the rule is you have to be married for a specific amount of time and then specific income, obviously, all of that, and there were other things. So eventually my dad got a call one night that there's 19 girls available for adoption at this orphanage in New Delhi. So he got my mom on a flight, and next day she was on her way to Delhi. While she was on her way, my mom's two sisters came to the orphanage to look at the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in a whole group, and I actually had learned to speak at a very young age. And when they were leaving, I said bye, right? And I guess something just attached them to me. And my two aunts decided that they would adopt me. One of them would adopt me. My mom didn't.
Yeah.
So, and it's crazy because one of my mom's sister has three daughters. She was ready to adopt a fourth daughter. My other mom's sister has two sons. She wanted a daughter. But my mom knew. My mom's like, these are not toys. I'm not going to pluck kids out.
Yeah.
She's like, whoever the first child is that comes out of the room, that's going to be my child.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, it was me.
It was you.
And so the papers were processed. She adopted me, and she sent pictures to my dad and stuff. Well, my dad was in Toronto. I was about to say here because I'm so used to Toronto.
I get it.
And I was brought into this big family, such a massive family full of so much love. Not even one person in this big-ass family had anything negative to say about my adoption. I was spoiled because I'm adopted.
Aww.
I was shown more love because I was adopted. And that's very rare. My grandmother was pro-adoption. My grandfather was pro-adoption.
And usually people in our culture are like, they're kind of mean. You know
what I mean? Yeah, they'll be like the blood. For some reason, they think the blood will... continue like
it's
that.
Exactly for Hispanic families it's exactly like that, because I remember when before I had a son, I would always say like, I want to adopt a baby, and my mom would always say like, no, you don't know where that baby comes from, you don't know what kind of parents they had, you don't know what kind of blood they have,
but you don't remember
that.
You remember how you were raised in the house you were raised. That's what you're always gonna take with you.
I've had people say to me like, you know, what if you're the daughter of a whore? They've used words like this.
Yeah.
I've had like excessive.
In school?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, their kids are mean, dude.
But the thing is, no matter where I came from, legitimate, illegitimate, whatever it is, whatever situation it is, even if I'm out of rape, whatever you are going to say, in the end, I was a child that was brought into this world.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Exactly.
So stop.
We're human at the end of the day. Yeah. We're God's children at the end of the day.
It doesn't matter if I'm adopted or not, or like who I am. It's like whoever family has took me in is going to bring me up with their values and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So back to once my mom had the paperwork and all that done, and I was brought into a big family, my mom decided to get a medical checkup done for me, and she found out that I had a hole in my heart.
Oh,
and
wow,
so
I didn't
she
even
called
know that.
The orphanage. Yeah, so here's a scar. It runs all the way down up to
oh,
here.
I see it.
So she called the orphanage, and they're like, oh, you could exchange her, like I was some defective toy.
Wow, oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. So my mom called my dad and told him this, and my dad hadn't met me yet. My dad's like, no, I'm not exchanging her. He's like, she's my daughter. I don't care. It's not a toy.
Oh, yes. My heart.
Yeah.
I know. It's warm.
So my dad, then he flew to India. He's like, we'll see what we have to do. I don't know how long it's going to take to get her visa because an unhealthy baby can't come to Toronto. If it takes 2 years because surgery, recovery, all of that.
Yeah. But did they pay for all that?
So the thing is, my dad came to India. Yeah. And he took me to the Canadian embassy in India, which has they usually have a Canadian doctor that checks the children and see if they can go abroad. I was so hyper that day. I was running around. Every time the doctor brought like his instruments close to me, I just kept giggling and laughing. He didn't even check my heart. Now, this wouldn't happen now.
Oh, no.
But he didn't even check my heart. He was like, oh, she's fine.
Oh.
Stamp visa done. I believe in kismet.
Yeah,
stamp
of course.
Stamp visa done. Ended up in Toronto where I was put into sick kids hospital. And that's where I got my surgery, and I had an open heart surgery.
Oh, yeah. Man.
So, and Toronto.
But it's good at least you had it in Toronto. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I would have trusted more in Canada than I would in India.
Yeah.
That's probably. Crazy. Did you talk about that in there? I don't remember.
I did.
You did?
I did.
You might have. I might have forgotten.
Doesn't pay attention.
I didn't. I was probably just so excited to get to, like, the juicy stuff. But, no, that's crazy. Well, you know what? See, like, I believe in, like, good karma. That's why I feel like you and your dad are where you are today. We'll go back to this, but just saying, I really, really believe in stuff like that. I feel like what you put in is what you get back.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to necessarily be like, you know, these people say karma's a bitch. Like, yeah, that's true too. But I'm more in like the goods you put in. Some way, somehow it's going to circle around, right?
150%.
Yeah. And I like, that's why another reason why I fell in love with your dad more is knowing the fact that he's such a good-hearted person and he was so selfless that I feel like he deserves all that he's getting.
You know, we always say, though, everything that's happening in my life and my dad's life wouldn't have happened without my mom. My mom battles severe arthritis. So when I was six, actually when I was like five, six, my dad wanted to adopt another child. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you can ask a kid that, oh, do you want a brother or sister? The social worker came over to ask. And I was like, no, I'll hurt that child.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're a kid.
But these are my parents.
My parents. But that doesn't mean that if a sibling came that I would be like, that would be my brother or sister.
You would learn,
You would learn to love them.
Yeah.
And the thing is, my mom's health worsened. Her arthritis is very bad. Her hands are folded in like this. So that's why you won't hear out and about that much. My mom's legs. All that we've had almost three times in my life, we've been scared that we're about to lose her. Aww, but it's because of her that we're able to pursue our careers. It's because of her prayers. It's because of who she is, her good heart, good karma. Like me and my dad will tell my mom, you don't know how the world is out there. It's a dog-eat-dog world, so you got to be strong. My mom goes, but you don't know what the other person's going through. And then my dad and I will be like, but no.
She always sees like the good and everything.
Good.
And so we're like, who cares?
It's because of her, I say, where we are.
God bless
right
her.
Now. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I was also, when I was listening to your story, so speaking of bullying, so in school, like how did you find out you were adopted?
Yeah.
And then tell me like when you had that dark time in your life.
Okay. So I found out I was adopted at the age of six. And basically my mom and dad sat me down and told me what adoption was. And then they told me that we chose you. You're special. Mm-hmm. That we picked you. We had to go to a whole different country to pick you.
Yeah.
And then I went, oh my God, I'm special. Yeah. So I went around in school and I'm like, guys, I'm adopted. Man, was I a big mouth.
Yeah, guys.
And like, I'm adopted. And it just backfired. I got, you're adopted because you were ugly. Like, your parents gave you up because your birth parents gave you up because you're ugly.
I hate kids. I fucking hate them.
As much as I love them, sometimes they're mean.
They're so mean, man.
So I got a lot of that. And that started giving me an identity crisis. And then my dad was always business minded. And my mom also has a business degree. I wanted to go into acting. So it was in my head that, am I the odd child?
Yeah.
Is it because I don't have their genes?
Yeah, so you start thinking everything has to do with that, right?
Yeah. And like, I was like, I don't look like my parents, blah, 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 and all these things. And side note, as you grow up with your parents.
Like, what the fuck is that?
You hear it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys. I don't know what the hell's going on. But anyways.
As long as you guys got getting the story, that's
we're
what
getting
matters.
The story. That's all that matters. Yeah. Sorry, guys. The world's about to end over here.
But yeah, like, man, I lost my train of thought. So yeah, okay. Shit.
Your dad was business minded. You were like, because you were an actor. You
wanted an actor. So things started getting into my head, and I felt like because my parents were so good at what they did with business and how they are, that they didn't deserve me, that they would, life would be better off without me. And I went into this deep, dark hole, and I've actually never been vocal about this, and like I actually ended up being vocal about it in an interview on BBC that I did. But there was a time, a very dark place when I was 16, where I almost took my life. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy because I couldn't share it with anyone because they would be like, oh, you're Nabhatia's daughter.
Yeah.
What did you not have that you had to take your life? Yet these are the same people who tweeted, oh, my goodness, rip Robin Williams. You know, you never know what someone's going through with mental health, this, that. But then...
You're like, you have everything externally.
You have everything. And it's like, what are you doing? And I was hurting. Like, it was so, I can remember this pain. As an actress, I feel like I can remember specific things. It was so gut-wrenching. Like, no matter how loud I would scream, no one could hear me. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
And I almost took my life. I ended up in the hospital. Doctors were shocked that I actually didn't damage anything internally. Like, my kidney was okay.
You don't mind me asking, what did you try to do?
I took Tylenol pills. I swallowed 23 Tylenol extra strength.
23?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
It went really bad. I'm so glad
nothing happened to you.
Yeah, and I felt like I got a chance to live. And I remember my dad walking to the hospital room, and I've never had a conversation with my dad about this. I don't even think he knew. I think my mom actually didn't want to share this with him at that time. But, like, I know later on he found out, but I didn't have a conversation at that time. And I remember he walked in, and I saw his face, and I went, no.
Yeah.
No. They will lose their life without me.
Yeah.
I need to make it big for them. I need to do things for other kids. That is when it triggered in my head that my purpose on this earth is not only to make my parents happy, but to help those children out there that are orphaned kids and on the streets. That is what led me into acting. That's exactly why I became an actress, because I'm going to have a louder voice with it. And I have full belief that I'm going to be the actress that I know I can be. I believe in intuition. I believe in law of attraction. And I've been very firm about this. So I can't wait for that to happen, because when I do, I can't wait to say it to my parents and have them there proud of me and then help as many people as I can around the world.
Amen. Look, she's so cute, you guys. I love by getting teary-eyed over here. No, sometimes it takes you, unfortunately, something like that, for you to have like an epiphany to be like, oh shit, that's my purpose. You know what I mean? It sucks that sometimes we're human. Mental health is so important. When you're alone and people think just because you have external things that, you know, everything's great. Like, they didn't know what you were going through.
I got diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I got diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I didn't know what was going on. My mom and dad tried home remedies, all these things.
Yeah.
And like, prayers all of everything that. But it was me who had to switch what I was feeling.
Exactly.
And I think that's the biggest thing for me, was that by the time I went through all that stuff, I was able to open up a huge open conversation with my parents. Mom and dad were not just mom and dad anymore, they became my best friends.
That's important.
That I could tell them anything, because you want to come home, if you need to cry, you need people to cry too.
Exactly.
If you come home and it's not a safe spot, it's mentally going to screw
it's
over
gonna ruin you.
Even more. So now that I knew that I could come home and talk to them, they started helping me. I wasn't hurting as much. And I began to starting to balance things out. And I've been much better ever since. And actually, acting saved me in a way. They say acting is therapeutic, but it's not therapy. Because every time I became a different character, I forgot about my pain.
Yep.
And I focused on that character, what that character's story was.
Yep.
That's why I know that if I'm not doing acting, I won't know how to breathe. Because it's just in my core to be all these different people.
Perfect. That's a good way to put it.
I mean,
it's your passion. And not everyone can just be like an actor or an actress. Like, it really is like a gift. You can take classes and things like that. But like, when it comes internally, it comes.
That's what I'm saying. It's the gift is internally. How badly do you want it? And what do you want it for?
You know,
my training, like, I went to Louis Strasberg. I went to so many schools. Like, people think that, oh, you're probably going to get a movie because of your dad or something like that, and like nepotism and all of that, because that's the whole conversation in Bollywood. And I'm like, guys, man, like, for me, example, like, I have a resume that speaks words.
Yeah.
You know, I've been
like, I wasn't just like training. Here. You're like, you went and you did the work.
But even if I was a big actor, director's, whatever, child, does that mean I don't have the right to dream like a normal person? I do.
You do.
So if I want to be an actress and I get that opportunity because my dad is a big actor, okay, but I'm going to work my butt off to keep myself in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think they don't see it that way. I feel like people just like to, like we said, we all get the same 24 hours.
Yeah,
some people do have more opportunity than others and stuff, but doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be good.
Yeah.
Like, not every actor's son or daughter is good at what they do.
And it's just like, in everyday life, we always get an opportunity. Everyone's giving an opportunity, and it's what you do with that opportunity.
Yeah.
You're giving it, just because you're given this opportunity, and I'm not going to say given, because you have worked for it,
mm-hmm.
and you've made yourself better, and to even, like, put... Like, just to even say that, you know, you're your dad's daughter, you have to fill in some type of shoes, right?
Yeah.
So for them to say that, you're not, it's also the work that you're going to put into it and deliver it.
100%.
Just because you're giving it to me, like, okay, give somebody $1 million, they're going to go spend that, like, in a day, right?
Yeah.
But you take that $1 million and invest it.
Yeah. You know what? That's what boggles my mind. When people try to throw at... You know, it's crazy because a lot of kids that come from wealthy families, they actually get bullied a lot.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that. They mm-hmm. do. You know, you're bullied if you're poor, you're bullied if you're average, you're bullied if you're rich.
Yep.
And why do you think that people hang out with, like, the people that understand them?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're purposely doing, I don't understand when some people are rude to other cliques, which is stupid. But, like, there's a reason why these cliques are there. And I always say, like, you know, parents have worked so hard to give mm-hmm. their kids a wonderful life.
Yeah.
Now you're going to go hound those kids mm-hmm. for being the children of those parents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, unless they're sitting on your ass, but I believe no one has the right to hound anyone. But if you're sitting on your ass and not doing anything, then you're dumb. But if you're working towards your dreams, because, like, for me, like, I know where my family comes from. I know how hard my dad has worked for. And I want to give back to him consistently and as much as I can with so much abundance of love mm-hmm. and joy. And, like, to do that, I have to work my butt off.
Of course.
Yeah, as you should.
Yeah, and I'm going to do that for my parents. They've mm-hmm. given me a wonderful platform. Yes, I'm privileged. Now it's what I do with that privilege that makes me...
Exactly.
Exactly.
I feel like there could even be more pressure when you're privileged.
Oh, 150%.
Like, because, like, let's just say, like, you know, your dad gave you all this. He gave that. Also, being adopted.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like, man, I owe them something. Like, I got to do mm-hmm. something. I feel like there can always be that pressure. That's why I feel like a lot of rich kids go into depression and things like that. Because they... can't find, like, what they're good at or whatever, but they're like,
and they can't even talk about mental health.
They can't talk about mental health because they're like, oh, you're privileged, you have money, you're rich, you're so.
I had somebody say to me, walked into my house, and that person knew my bipolar disorder and everything that I had been through, and that person said to me, how can you be depressed when you live in such a big house?
Because it doesn't have to be, like, it's not about the size of the house. There's people in India that are poor as hell and happier than we are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you know what? They found, they're like, my kids are my happiness. This is what I'm happy with. Mm-hmm. Like, you find happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so stupid.
And people have this horrible perception. Like, I even had, we were talking about this before the show started, negative comments where people say to me, oh, you don't want to go see your real family that gave birth to you because your adopted family is wealthy. That is not the case.
So
that is
stupid.
So stupid. I mean, I'm looking for my birth parents because I'm you know what? I asked my dad, I go, what would you do if I find my birth parents? He said, I will hug your mother and thank her for the rest of my life.
Oh, I'm going to cry. Stop.
That's the thing.
I love him so much.
Like, I mean, they gave me up for a reason.
Yeah.
Whatever that reason was, they gave me up. But if they didn't give me up, would I have had these parents?
No. Nope.
But that doesn't mean I forget where I'm from.
Yeah.
I never forget where I'm from.
No.
And no one needs to tell me where I'm from. That's the number one thing. People on social media love to tell you, remember this.
Remember this.
This is where you're from. Nah, 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 nah. It's like, no. You do you.
It's always a complex. Like, people always have something to say because they lack something, right?
Yeah.
Because they're like, you know, because you came from parents that are your own. Why aren't you doing shit then? You know, it's like, why are they attacking you? Because that's the only thing.
Because they can sit behind a computer and attack and all they want.
Tap, 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 tap.
Yeah.
Well, this is, like, completely off topic, but before we go to break, I'm going to ask you these really, really big words.
Okay.
Pro-life or nah?
I am 100% pro-choice.
Pro-choice.
100%. A woman's body, a woman's right. As an adopted child, I can say that it is definitely up to a woman on what she wants to do with her body.
Yep.
It's not a man's decision.
Nope.
And it's not another woman's decision.
Or somebody who's on the council who doesn't even fucking know who you are. We're going to take a break and then we're going to talk more about that. We'll be right back, guys.
Find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest on Ruckus Avenue Radio.
All right, guys. Welcome back. We are here with Lucy Legend and Tia Bhatia. We were just talking about her abortion story. Just kidding. No, we were not talking about her. We were talking about her.
cut. Restart that.
About her adoption story. Our adoption story, a wonderful adoption story. And and then before we went to break, I asked her pro-choice or pro-life.
Yeah.
And she said pro-choice.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, it's a sensitive topic, but you know what? It's happening. Like, there's people making decisions for women out there, mm-hmm. and it needs to be talked about. And the reason I wanted to talk to you about it is because you're on a whole different spectrum than a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
Because adoption. So if she didn't put you up for adoption, you know, what if there was an abortion? You would have never happened.
Yeah.
Tia would have never happened. You wouldn't have had, you know, the great life that you have today. But I actually was scrolling on Instagram today, and they said in Georgia, they found a baby in a plastic bag. Luckily,
they did this.
Exactly. And this is disgusting. Mm-hmm. And Georgia, it's illegal. It's like, there's going to be more of that. There's going to be more of that. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to call people murderers, but they're actually going to be committing murders now, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, like, they found the baby. Right? The baby, like, I almost cried when I saw it. I was like, someone heard the baby crying and they thought it was an animal. Mm. It's like a legit video, dude. Like, it's like the baby coming out of the plastic bag. Ugh. And it killed me.
Mm.
Killed me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, like we were talking about earlier, we don't know what your birth mom was going through, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously in India, like, abortion is a big deal. Like, you know, oh, how dare you and all this kind of stuff everywhere. Like, look at these stupid fucking people on the council doing that. So when it comes to that, it's like people are like, oh, you should have known better. What the fuck do you mean you should have known better? Did you ever have the sex talk? I never had the sex talk.
No.
Yeah, I never had the sex mm-hmm. talk. How was I? Let's just say, like, I didn't get lucky. And I mean, I don't have babies today, but I just got lucky, right? But what about those kids who have no idea?
Yeah, not only that, I just see, like, man, it's a woman's body.
Yeah.
It's not like.
We're carrying it.
Yeah, like, God made us like that, or whoever created us made us like that. We have our periods. We go through all of that. But even the whole period thing, first of all, I don't even know why we have to pay for tampons and pads, adding that in there right now.
Yeah, right?
But, yeah, like, you know, it's a woman's body that gives life to you. I mean, you, who was making decisions, these negative decisions on a woman's body, you wouldn't be here if a woman decided not to give birth to you.
Exactly.
So let the woman choose what they want to do.
With their body,
I mean, like, it breaks my heart when people try to control a woman's body.
Yeah, we're still somehow, I think this is more of a control thing than people wanting to be pro-life, right? First, you didn't want us to vote. Now we can vote. Then we couldn't have these types of jobs. Now we have these types of jobs. But now you want to tell us, can we not or have a baby or not? It's just like, I think it's a control thing.
And then you know what it is? Because even with Georgia and all these places, like, a lot of Southern women have the same mentality.
They do.
But that, and I do not blame them. I'm not going to sit here and hound them, because again, this is how their upbringing
has been.
They've been surrounded by those type of people. It's our job to educate. Look at the amount of words and vocalness that we have seen. I don't even know if vocalness is a word, but like, that we've seen social media blow up. Georgia, Alabama, all these things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. We're fighting for what is right. And what is right is everyone has a decision to live their life. And I actually saw a tweet from somebody who said, someone wrote, it's the woman's choice. Someone's like, but isn't it the kid's choice on what they want to do? Dude, kid's not even there yet.
The kid's not even there yet.
I'm going to say it, and I'll probably be hounded for it later on. But as a child who was given up for adoption, if my birth mom had chosen to abort me, would I have known that she aborted me?
No.
Like,
you wouldn't have known. And if you were supposed to come here, you would have came through someone else's womb.
Yeah.
If you were meant to come here, you know? And like I don't know. There are some laws I was kind of looking into. It's like the baby has a heartbeat and you cannot. Like that, they have it up to there, right?
Yeah.
But like you said, but it doesn't, they don't have a brain yet. They can't think for themselves.
I think the cutoff mark is 3 months before, and then you can get an abortion, right? Yeah, like, I mean, that's...
I guess I get it. Unless, like, I think there's different circumstances. Yeah. I don't know if this is, like, rape and things like that. Or I feel like if you're a drug addict, you shouldn't have a child. Yeah. I think that is, like, I'm really big on that. Like, when I was trying to go to nursing school,
yeah.
The mom that was giving birth to a baby was an addict. She was doing drugs while the baby was in her stomach. Yeah. So when they... I was like, maternity will be great. I'm going to do clinicals at maternity, right? This is happy place. No. So the baby came out shaking because it was going through withdrawals. I have never felt hate as much as I felt hate. I wanted to beat her ass.
You have a reasoning.
Yeah, I witnessed it. I had to get out of the room. I'm like tearing up thinking about it because I wanted to beat her ass. But I get it. Addiction is like strong. And like, it's like if you guys heard about like my dad and things like that, like, we get to a point where you can't stop it. But I feel like people like that should not be able to have kids, right? But again, your body, your choice. So then that's when you get into, like, there's whole different scenarios. Like, if a mom's going to be doing drugs during her pregnancy, should she even have the kid?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's so many different things.
You know what? When they talk about the whole heartbeat thing, you know, all right, it takes two to tangle. Not like a woman can get pregnant herself.
Exactly.
So you're telling me the second they have a heartbeat, you better start paying for child support.
Facts. That's the best thing I've ever heard. Okay, well, start putting money in my bank.
Yeah. Because
I gotta go to my ultrasound visits now. I gotta eat better now.
It's 9 months of a woman's body, her life, and everything. 9 months, everything. And a lot of things can happen inside.
Yep.
And I swear I read somewhere something about miscarriages as well. Wasn't there a thing that if a woman miscarries, she has to prove that it happened on its own and it wasn't like on purpose? How crazy.
What? That's so dumb. Like, okay, so.
That's the thing. I went at it on social media. When I heard that, I went off. I'm like, that is not right.
That's not right at all. Lucy, I've never asked you. Are you pro-life or pro-choice?
I'm pro-choice. However, I do think that there is a line.
Yeah.
So it's like what we were talking about earlier with the heartbeat.
Yeah.
I think one, and I'm not saying, I don't think that, okay, so once we have a heartbeat,
yeah,
I still don't think that we should be like, okay, you have to carry this child for the right, you have to continue it. At that point with the, when we have a heartbeat, I think that there's something needs to go into place where like, the mom needs to get monitored or some type of psychology,
like a checklist or
some
right
kind
here.
Of thing yes, like where 100%. We're doing, where we're like, okay, if you want to have abortion, let's talk about what is the reasoning behind it.
What's going on?
That's great.
You know, so that's what I think, because at the same time, it's like, I don't think you should, because some people will use it like, okay, you know,
oh, that happened.
It happened.
That's what I think. That's when you draw the line.
And then let's just have.
It's like your third, fourth. It's like, okay, now you need to, you need to be careful.
Okay. you need to be careful. But it's not like, if it's before you have a heartbeat at that point, I mean, it's just like, you know, it's whatever. Yeah. But once you have
still be like 50-50.
Yeah. But once you have that heartbeat, I think that there is needs to be specially only because a lot of the time it is younger women that are doing this. And to carry a child,
Some girls are still children.
A discussion needs to happen because if you have gotten to that point where you want to say, once that heartbeat is there and you're thinking there's something wrong, something's going on. Discussion needs to happen.
And a lot of the times with these young women, I think they need to be directed. Like, maybe they don't know what their options are. You know, who their parents are.
Like, what if their parents are like, I'm going to kill you. Yeah. Like, you don't know that.
Like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, and
we're
going
to disown you.
Yeah.
You don't know that.
Don't know what those options are. So I think in that sense, like, once there's a heartbeat, and I'm only talking specific to a heartbeat, because once you have a heartbeat, there's a life.
Yeah.
There's something
that's
happening.
That's what I'm saying. Child support, heartbeat. Yeah.
Both of those points are amazing. I feel like we need to write a letter to these people because I think this is great. Like, you want to tell us that we can't have kids or we can't do that, but do you know what we're going through? Do you know what that girl is going through? You obviously don't care because you made up your mind, but you don't know shit. Like, you're telling me how to what to do with my body. Well, then you need to know what I'm going through or what she's going through.
Yeah, and a lot of the things, like, I feel like a lot of people focus, like, on the body and the woman's body, which is a woman that's going to carry it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also going to be a lot through the body, the psychology of it, the financial of it, the raising of the kid. Like, it's easy for you to say, like, you know what? Keep that child. You have to keep that child because of X, Y, and Z. They could be the next Martin Luther King. They could be the next Obama. Okay, cool. Are you going to help me pay for that?
Yeah.
Like, exactly what she said. Yeah. Okay, great. I love to raise
there's
a
so
Martin
much
Luther.
Involved. The mother, being you a know, mother like, is one of the most hardest, and even a father, and also a father. It is... Parenting is one of the most toughest, yes, one of the most beautiful processes.
Yeah,
of course.
but it is ultimately the decision of the person
who's
giving birth.
Exactly.
9 months, the whole 9 months.
So I think there's definitely needs to be a lot more than just clear cut, like, yes, no. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of gray area right there.
I think we had a great conversation. I mean, this is great. I'm glad that I got to see your side, Like, you're Hispanic. Mm-hmm. You've been adopted. I used to, when I was younger growing up, I used to play, like, I would never kill a baby. Like, you're young. Mm-hmm. You don't know anything, right?
Yeah.
Then as I started getting older, I see girls getting pregnant at young ages. I've had scares or this and that, this and that. Mm-hmm. And then you start thinking logically and you're like, okay, there's more into it than killing babies. If you just keep thinking that, then, like, you need a bigger education.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at India for a second. When you see a 13-year-old girl get raped and then she gets pregnant and she gives birth to a child. Or you see, like, I'm talking about specific villages and stuff. Or, like, areas where a younger girl, like, I was at an orphanage, and this girl, she was married off at the age of 11, and the guy didn't want her anymore, and he put her back in the orphanage at 13.
Yeah,
she got pregnant.
You know, my godson, or he's going to be my godson in December.
Yeah.
His mother got raped, and I'm talking about Mexico. His mother got raped, and he was a white man from the Americans, raped her, left her, pregnant with the kid. And because over there, her mom is one of, you know, she's religious, and she was like, you can't murder this kid. Even if you got raped, you know, you will go to hell, blah, blah, blah. Hounded her. So what she did is she had that kid and left that kid to die for, because she's like, I'm not gonna do it. Luckily, this baby, and he's a beautiful kid. He's gonna be my godson in December, and it's just crazy to me what they put her through. And that's why I say, it's like, even after that thing, it's like, she needs, like, that she ran away from her parents. Her parents haven't seen her. Her sisters haven't seen her. Her kid hasn't seen her, and it's all because of this belief. You know, that she's gonna go to hell.
Education, man. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's
people need
to have open conversations and understand.
Open discussions
with different perspectives of life. Have those discussions, but never try to enforce your own beliefs and opinions on another person.
Nope. Mm-hmm. It has to be their own experience, their own life. Let them learn on their own. I know this is something we could talk about forever, guys, but we have few minutes left, and this was such an important topic that you can go on for, like, we need a whole show on this. Really,
I really think, like, I didn't even feel like this was an hour.
I know, right? And I'm just like, oh, guys, we're cutting it. Well, you know, sorry, we'll talk about this bigger and, you know, and more broad. And you can say so many things about it. You know what I mean? But before we close out, Tia, I wanted you to, if you can give a word to advice to any other girl out there. She's adopted, not adopted. She's just not comfortable being herself. She's different. She doesn't know what she wants to do or anything like that. What would one word of advice that you would like to give that girl?
So it's not just one word of advice.
Yeah, just whatever
you'd like to say is talk to your parents. It's one of the biggest things that you can do because family bond, family is very important. Now, if your parents don't understand because they come from a different belief, that doesn't mean change who you are. That doesn't mean don't follow your dreams. That just means that one day when you have a family in your future, you will know how to create that connection with your kids.
Amen. That's really true. And I feel like if you're a parent too, you should learn to be okay with your kids. You're going to say things that you're not okay with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your kids are not going to always have the same, they're not going to be on the same side as you. Mm-hmm. But you as a parent, your duty is to listen to your kids.
That's the number one thing.
You should be their best friend.
Parents need to listen to their kids, and kids need to be able to get to that point where they're so comfortable to talk with their parents. Because if they're not, situations like me where I could have lost my life could have happened.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's so many situations out there. I felt like I couldn't talk to my parents. I tried to take my life before. I tried to drink bleach, but I sucked at it. I just took a sip and I was like, ah, but it was like, you know what I mean? Yeah. But what if I did? But it was because I was like, my parents don't understand me. They don't get me. They don't know what I'm going through.
Thing. My parents don't understand me, or oh my goodness, I'm going to hurt my parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people end up killing
their parents. All you had to do was talk.
Yeah.
Talking is important. Mental health is important. And if, Tia, let them know your social media. So let's just say somebody wants to reach out to you, try to, like, ask you something or just tell you that they love you. How can they reach out to you?
You can follow me on YouTube. It's Tia Bhatia, or Instagram. It's @Tia_Bhatia. And same with my Twitter, @Tia_Bhatia.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
We talked about so many great. I really appreciate your story. Tell your dad I love him. I love you. And Lucy, like, do you have anything to add?
Nope, that's pretty good. Okay.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. This is Jyoti K. Uncut on Ruckus Avenue Radio. See you next time. Woo-hoo! Bye.
Tell me where you been at. Tenu kada da ve labda fira. Tell me where you been at. Tenu rab kono magda fira. Tell me where you been. Oh, tell me where you been. Tell me where you been. Oh, ore rehna ni ho tere to bina. ਅਸੀਂ ਤਾਰਿਆਂ ਨਾ ਲਾ ਲਿਆ ਨੀ ਯਾਰੀਆਂ ਫੋਟੋ ਤੇਰੀ ਚੰਨੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਲਈਆ ਕਿਵੇਂ ਦੱਸਾਂ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਬੀਤੀਆਂ ਜੋ ਸਾਰੀਆਂ ਹਰ ਵੇਲੇ ਯਾਦ ਤੇਰੀ ਆਈਆ ਉਹ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਮਿਲਣ ਨੂੰ ਦਿਲ ਬੜਾ ਚਾਵੇ ਪਰ ਕਾ ਤੋਂ ਬਿੱਲੋ ਨੇੜੇ ਨਾ ਤੂੰ ਆਵੇ ਬੇਟ ਕਰਦੇ ਨੇ ਹੁਣ ਮੇਰੇ ਸਾਹ ਨੀ ਬਸ ਤੇਰੇ ਹੋਣ ਦੀਆਂ ਨੀਂਦਰਾਂ ਨਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਬਿਨੇ ਆਉਂਦੀਆਂ.
Visit RuckusAvenueRadio.com for our station schedule and much, much more.